Thank God He's the cleanser of our soul. Let's have one more word of prayer. Lord God, we just thank You today for Your grace, Your mercy, Your love. We just thank You for all the wonderful things that You are, all of the things that You've done for us, all the things that You continue to do every single day, that You cleansed our soul, that You are our refuge, our tower. You're our strength in the times of trouble. Lord, I just pray today that as You use me today, that You would just speak Your word today and You would speak to our hearts. Lord, I know there's all kinds of things going on in the world today. And Lord, I just pray that You would use this message to speak to our hearts and just let us know how much You love us, how much You care for us, that You're always there for us. You'll never leave us, and You'll never forsake us. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, turn to James chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. We're going to talk about the test of trials today. It's good to be with y'all today and get this opportunity to speak to y'all. And sorry for the circumstances under which it's happened, but I do appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak to y'all. And I know Brooks has been talking about suffering and some of those things, but I hope today to talk about that in just a little bit different manner today. And talk about the test of trials. If you know anything about the book of James, it's a book about tough things. James doesn't hold back. He gives it to you full in the face. But James, you know, he wants to let you know that God loves you. He cares for you. And if you're truly saved, there's some things that's going to happen in your life. And he wants to talk to us about that test of trials today. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But let's read the passage of Scripture this morning. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, are mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flowers fall, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. And the last verse is, blessed is the man who endures, and I'm going to change that word to trials. I'll tell you in a minute. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Yeah, a few weeks ago, I filled in for Pastor Brooks, and we talked a little bit about temptation. And, you know, I believe that tests and trials and temptation are a very appropriate subject for the day. And, you know, I believe that the devil wants to tempt us. And the reason I changed that word is because the Greek word for temptation is the same word for the Greek word trial. And it depends upon how you use it. And I believe he's still in the context of verses 1 through 12, 1 through 11. And basically what he says here is that, you know, a test is something that happens in your life. A trial is something that happens in your life, right? A trial is something that outward circumstance, but it becomes a temptation if we react wrongly on the inside to it. Does that make sense to you? It becomes a temptation. And, you know, God wants to test us. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. But the devil wants to tempt us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But God wants to test us. He wants to make us more like Him each and every day. So let's look at verses 1, and we'll just talk about that for just a second, and then we'll get into our points. We've got 6 points today. I'm kind of unorthodox in my points, you know, but hopefully we'll get through all of them, and we managed to do it in the first service. So James, he says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want you to notice one thing about that. That James says the same thing Paul says and some of the other writers say, that they're a willing servant, they're a willing slave, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's two reasons that God saved you if you have been saved. Number one, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to be made like Him, Romans 8:29. And number two, to be His witness. That is why God saved you. If you were saved, He didn't save you to gather up things and to do all kinds of things on this earth, although we have responsibilities. But first and foremost, we're to be a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he writes, he says, to the 12 tribes. These are the 12 tribes, the 12 Jewish tribes that are scattered abroad. And he says, greetings. And so the first point this morning as we look at this, is the title is The Test of Trials, and our first point this morning is count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Notice he says in verse 2, my brethren. Now he's talking to fellow believers, right? He was talking to the Jewish believers, but he's talking to you and I today the same way he was talking to them. He's talking to believers. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, this word count is the word consider. It's the word to look forward, to look into the future, to consider, to evaluate, to look ahead. You know, we get in trials and what do? We look at our circumstances and we say, woe is me. We look at things that's going on and we don't look to the results. We don't look to the things ahead, which we'll talk about. I'm trying to get ahead of myself this morning. But he says, consider or count it all joy. Evaluate it. Consider. Look to the results. You know, it says in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, he endured the cross and has sat down at the right hand of God. Now, the joy was not that Jesus went to the cross, right? Because he didn't enjoy that, right? I mean, I don't think we would. But the joy was that one day you and I would get to go to heaven. That's the joy, you know, and that's what we're to look forward to. John 16:33, Jesus told his disciples as he was getting ready to leave this earth, he said that, be of good cheer. He says, you know, tribulation will happen in this world, but you know, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're overcomers. And so we need to look to the future. We need to look to what God's doing in our life. Look at Abraham when he took Isaac. You know, for 3 days he as well believed that his son was dead. He says, they went 3 days into the wilderness. He said, my son and I, we will go and worship and we will come back. Look at Job. You know, Job, he was in a bad spot, right? Just a little bit. You know, you got to remember God's in control of everything. You know, in Job 1:12, the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So we need to realize that we need to look at trials from God's perspective. Look at trials from God's perspective. And I know we've heard Romans 8:28 about the yin-yang until we're probably sick of it, but Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purposes. All things. I'm not talking about just the good things, but I'm talking about the bad things. God uses trouble in our life to make us like Him. So we need to realize now, you know, that if God's for us, who can be against us, right? That's what it says in verse 31 of Romans 8. And now I'm not talking about trials that you caused yourself. We're not talking about that today. We're not talking about trials that you caused yourself. It says, count it all joy when you fall into trials. It's been well said that you're either in a trial, you've just come out of a trial, or you're fixing to go in a trial. And I can vouch for that, you know, and I'm sure all of the rest of y'all can too. But he says, when you fall, now notice that word fall. That means they happen suddenly. And then he says, various trials. There's all kinds of trials. They're just not just one kind, but everything in the book can happen, right? You know, they say when it rains, it what? Pours. You know, and it seems like everything goes crazy. And so we need to realize that if God's for us, who can be against us? You know, Isaiah 43:2, I'm not going to turn there, but it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, they shall not burn you, nor shall they scorch you. And so God says, I will be with you through the fire. He doesn't say, I'll get you out of the fire, but He says, I will be with you through the fire. It won't burn you. It won't scorch you. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That's funny. We never remember their other Hebrew names, but where was God at? He was in the midst of the fire with them, right? Is that a God that loves you? He cares for you? And all these other guys that threw them in, they're getting burned up, right? But here's these three guys, and they're in there. They don't even smell like fire when they come out. They come out, and God protects them. God's with them. And so we need to realize that we can count it joy. We need to have the attitude that God is doing something, and we need to look to the end. When we count it joy. Like I said, we don't have to be happy that we're going through trouble, but we can be happy because we know what God's doing through it. And so let's look at the next point. Consider the results of your trials. And that's in verse 3 and really 4, but you know, I'm kind of going to throw 2 points together here on you and throw an extra one in here. But he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Notice he says, the testing of your faith. That word testing is the word dokimos. It's a word, you know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but it's the word that means that you're, something's to be approved. Remember I said God wants us to pass the test? I mean, what's the object when you take a test? You hope to pass, right? And the devil wants to destroy us. Kill, steal, and destroy. But he says that, you know, that we're put through the fire, that our character may be proven. And we'll find out later that's what proves our character. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But he says the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. Now, endurance is what? The ability to keep on going, right? And how many of us have prayed for patience? How many of you are going to pray for it again? Nobody? I remember one time I prayed for it, and Shelley said, please don't pray for that ever again. Every crazy pulled out in front of us on the road, everything happened, and you know, it's like the man that said, the woman that came to the pastor and says, Pastor, would you pray for me for patience? And he says, okay. Lord, just let the world fall apart for this woman. Just let everything go crazy. And she says, wait a minute, Pastor. I said patience. He said, don't you know Romans 5:4 says tribulation worketh patience, and patience character, and character hope. She says, okay. Lady at nursing home a while back asked me to pray for patience. I said, you know what you're asking for, don't you? She says, yeah. I said, okay, I'll pray for you if that's what you really want me to pray for. So anyway, that's what we pray for. But you know, as we look at these things, it says that faith produces patience, endurance. Remember, and then he says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. You know, there's a verse in Jeremiah 18, 1 through 4. You can just write it down. I'm not going to quote the whole thing. But it talks about the potter's house. And it talks about a vessel that was marred. And the potter, which is God, he takes it and he makes it into another vessel as seems right to him. And so the results of your trials is that you will be made patient or for endurance. That you will also be made perfect or mature. And then also complete. You know, that word complete means whole, lacking nothing. You know, Colossians 2:10 says that in Him you are made complete. God makes us complete. And without Him, we're empty. We're not filled. We're not full. We're not totally complete. But as we let God work in our lives, then He will work on us and He will change us. And so, we need to remember that like the tree that's staked up too tight, that it'll, when it's turned loose, it'll fall over. You know, you see some of these trees and they're staked up and they got a thing right on each side of it. And a lot of times when you pull it loose, it'll fall over. But you know, you're supposed to kind of stake it and let it be able to blow a little bit back and forth in the wind, because that's what makes it strong. And that's what makes us strong. I think about the SEALs, the Marines, and all these people, the things they go through. And they say, we're looking for a few good men. Well, God's looking for a lot of good Christians. He's looking for you and for me. And just as He has to, they have to put these people through all these trials and all these tests, as SEALs, they have to put us, God has to allow us to go through tests and trials in our lives, to be made like Him. He's got to get rid of all the junk in our lives. You know, I always hate to quote this song, but you know that old song Glenn Campbell sang, that he said, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday, right? Y'all remember that one? Some of y'all too young, but maybe you didn't listen to it, but you're going to say, oh, this guy's pagan now, you know, quote secular songs. But you know, the lesson is that the diamond, the coal goes through heat. It goes through pressure to be made into a diamond. And that's what God does with us. He puts us under pressure. He puts us in the a pressure cooker, and He molds us and He makes us and He cuts everything away that doesn't look like Him. And that's what He's doing to you and I. And so, you know, we need to realize that that's what the results of the trials are. That we would be made like Him, conformed to His image. And so, you know, God gives us the ability to overcome trials. Remember, you know, people talk about losing their salvation, and they talk about all these verses. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And we're talking about endurance here, patience. And 1 John 5:4 says, he who overcomes, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You're an overcomer. If God be for you, who can be against you? And so we need to realize that we're going to be an overcomer, not because anything in me or anything in you, but we're going to overcome because of what God did in our lives. You remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, where he said that he had a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan, and he said he prayed 3 times, right, that God would remove it. But what did God say? He said, my strength is sufficient for you. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said that in my weakness, he is strong. When I am weak, he's strong, right? And so we need to be weak, and we need to let God carry us. We need to let God be our provider, our refuge, our strength. And so we need to listen to God during the trials and remember the results of them. Then we want to talk about the third point, is consider the reason for your trials. In verse 4, that's kind of the same thing, that you'd be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. But I kind of want to throw a couple other things that aren't really in the text right here. But you're going to have trials because of what? What was the first thing he said up here? my brethren. Because you're a Christian, right? I mean, you know, the Bible says that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. 2 Timothy 3:12. And so we need to realize that sometimes because we're Christians, we're going to maybe suffer more than other people. You know, Jesus said to count the cost. Take up your cross daily and deny yourself. And we don't like to hear that, but you know, I tell people over and over and over again that the bottom line is if we know Christ, this is as bad as it'll ever get. The worst the world can throw at us, it's as bad as it'll ever get. But this is as good as it ever gets if you don't know Christ. It's just going to get better from here. It says in Romans 8:18 that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be considered with the glory which we'll have in heaven one day. One day, as the song says, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. You know, and we need to remember that we're going to have trials because we need to do good deeds to other people. You know, 1 Peter 2:20 says, for what credit is it when you're beaten for your faults if you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer and take it patiently, this is commendable before God. If you do wrong and suffer, that's not good. But the world is watching. The world is watching us. You know, that leads us to the next little sub-point under here. It says, faith turns trials into glory for God. You know that little verse that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Not glorify me, not glorify you, but glorify who? Our Father who's in heaven, right? And so we need to realize that sometimes God gets glory out of some things that we don't even like to talk about. I mean, in John 11:3-4, you remember Lazarus died? And what did Jesus tell the sisters? He said that this sickness is not unto death, but this sickness was that the glory of God might be revealed, that they could see that he had the power over life and death. And so sometimes even the things that we don't like, God uses in our lives. You know, most of you don't know, and I didn't tell this story in the first service, and trying to decide whether to tell it now. But, you know, 8 years ago, my mother, she went in for a routine test on a Friday, and doctor decided he would do some things to her. He would check her out and see what was going on with her. And as he got in there, he decided he'd do a little bit more than what he was going to do, and he decided he'd go in and take out a little bit of scar tissue. Said she had a little bit of scar tissue in her esophagus. And when he did that, he went through her esophagus. He kind of went down and he cut through her small intestine. And basically what happened was all the stuff, it was like, you know, your appendix bursting. And all of that stuff poured into her insides. And it ate her up. It burned her lungs up. It burned everything up. They put her under a induced coma. She was in like a coma. We were in a roller coaster ride for 5 or 6 weeks from the time that happened to the time it was over. We made decisions that I hoped we'd never have to make. You know, decisions like, if she dies, are you going to resuscitate her? Things like that. You know, that time was not an easy time. It's still kind of hard to talk about sometimes, more sometimes than less. But you know, there's a lot of things that have happened in my life because of that particular time. I might not even be preaching here today had that not happened in my life. I don't know if I'd be preaching today. You know, but God used that time. We were in the ICU. We prayed with many people, talked with many people. Even though we were going through hard times, there were people that things had happened. And some people, apparently during that time, they made some mess ups. and people were dying or almost dying, and there were people in there on drugs, on alcohol, and doing all kinds of things. And the difference between them and us, and I'm not trying to glorify Marty, and I'm not trying to glorify my family, but the difference between them and us is during the trial, we had Jesus Christ, and we were able to minister to other people. We were able to minister to other people. You know, there was a lot of people ministered to us too. Thank God for that. But during that time, we ministered to a lot of people. If you want to go minister to some hurting people, or go leave some tracks somewhere, go up to the ICU up there in one of these hospitals. Go to one of these places. I'm going to tell you what, you can make a difference in people's lives in those places. But you know, I give all the glory to God, because on my own, I could not have done that. But we were used of God during that particular time. God used us. He worked on us. He changed us. We'd enjoy the process. But today, I'm the better for it. I think my family's the better for it. You know, I miss my mother. But you know, you gotta look sometimes down the road and say it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. And then the next thing we want to see is that the testing reveals the genuineness of your faith. It reveals the genuineness of your faith. Do you know that? Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6, just a couple of verses to the, one book to the right. Keep your finger in James. And it says here, when he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. He says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, he says, you're going to be grieved for a little while by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith may be found to the praise, the honor, and the glory of Jesus Christ. You know the story about the four seeds, right? I mean, one of the seeds, the devil takes away before it really gets in. The other one, they leave and walk away because of the trials and the reproach for the word of God. And then the other one leaves because of the cares and the riches of this world. They're more concerned with that. But then he says the last seed is what? It produced fruit, right? 30, 60, 100-fold. And we need to realize that God says that those people that walked off, they weren't real. Because the testing revealed the real people. He says, by their fruits you shall what? Know them. And so those are the real folks. And so when the trials come, the troubles come, if you're real, you're going to pass the test. You might fall, you might slip, you might mess up a little bit, but you're going to get back up and you're going to keep on following God. Because if you're real, you're going to overcome, right? So we need to remember that if we're real, we're going to pass the test of trials.